Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to RockAuto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write "doubt" in the "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice, but to get on mandate. Get it on and welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. Mark has a tall boy sugarless Red Bull.
Right?
So,
which Vinny would shoot me for, wouldn't he?
Sugarless. I'm saying Mark, who usually sort of lays back, is a bit of a wallflower.
That's me.
He's spoken to.
But
now
by
he's
the
got
way,
a little juice going through his veins. So we'll get him out of the shell.
Right before you came, I was telling you, I was on a conference call that was interminable. And while I was driving, I said, I got to get something to wake me up. I can't even. These conference calls. And the worst part about the pandemic is everybody thinks they can just get on these Zooms, which, by the way, I don't even do video anymore. I'm tired of it. And just drone on endlessly.
Well, the conference call, it just popped in my head, but it's a lot like the beautifully crafted and displayed fruit salad at a wedding. It's actually the opposite. Where it has a lot of the same qualities, which is nobody wants to be the first guy to jump.
Right.
So it's like when you're at the wedding and they have that fruit display and they got the strawberries cut in half and it makes a full circle and then it goes up to the pineapple and there's a bird of paradise flower at the top. No one wants to be the first asshole to grab a handful of that shit and fuck it all up. And when you're on the conference call with six people, I'm always the guy going, well, there you go. Yeah, all righty, then. I think we got the message. Because no one wants to be the first guy to go, can we get the fuck off this? We've done three laps around the same park now.
And why do we have to keep repeating it just to hear people talk? And by the way, I thought where you were headed with the fruit salad was where my Aunt Gloria used to make ambrosia, and she'd always put the marshmallows
in the Jell-O.
Yeah, in the Jell-O.
It holds the same. It's the wedding cake. It's the fruit salad. It's anything that they do such a nice job of displaying it that no one wants to desecrate it, but you want that slice of ambrosia, but you don't want to be the first guy. Now, as soon as the first guy pops the hymen on the ambrosia,
then
people get in with their hands at that point. But no one wants to be the first to jump.
Did you just return from Nashville?
Yes, I was in Nashville.
August told me this, I think. And I believe you made a big announcement.
Yeah, I'm doing six stand-up specials for the Daily Wire.
No kidding. Is this their first venture into that form of entertainment? Daily Wire is Ben Shapiro's enterprise, which I like to – when I see him, I'm going to tease him. He's coining money on. In fact, I think he was on Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago, and somebody was insulting him, and he said, yeah, I'm laughing all the way to the bank.
Well, I've been to their campus a few times in Nashville. Obviously, they started in L.A., and Ben is from L.A.
Right.
He's from the Valley. I ran into his dad in the kitchen over there, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, he's a San Fernando Valley, kind of grew up around Valley College, pretty North Hollywood-based dude. And he started it out here, but you can't really grow a company out here. You can kind of have a company
in
out
LA?
Here. In
yes.
L.A.
Yeah.
So
tell me about
they ended up just moving to Nashville. They got some acreage over there. It's a big campus, really? Two big buildings, and I think they moved. I think Ben told me they moved. They had 100 employees. They moved to Nashville. I think about 86 of the 90. I think they had 90, and about 86 of them said fine. Like, he thought there's going to be a pretty high attrition rate. Someone should tell Newsom and Garcetti. These were a long time LA people, and they said, we're moving to Nashville. And, you know, think about this, and I'll circle back to the growth. But if you would have told someone in 2000 who was born and bred in LA, their business was in like Sherman Oaks,
right,
you know, on Ventura Boulevard. If you said to somebody in 2000, hey, we're going to Nashville, Tennessee, you would have gotten about 15% of people who agreed to move with you.
At most.
If they had a couple of family members and like from the Nashville
area. I think that's true even 7 years ago.
7 years ago. The people would have went, no, I'm not going to fucking Tennessee.
Right.
Out of the 90, like 86 said, I'll see you at the airport.
Yeah, said, I'll leave the keys on the dresser.
Right. So they all moved. There are about 200 employees now. The place is a beehive of activity. I mean, you walk into that place, there's kitchens full, everyone's banging away on a computer somewhere, they're broadcasting, they're doing everything, and they're on the come, like big time. And they're smart. The business model is, you know, when I talked to Ben, I don't know if this is public consumption or not, but Ben was like, I'm trying to get Gruden over here. So you get canceled, and then they'll pick you up because they're doing a Gina Carano, you know, action movie. You know, he said, who are you writing your next book with? You know, we'll do books, we'll do action movies, we'll do sports.
Right, that was my understanding. I saw the release that came out, and it looks like they're trying to create a cultural, behemoth, for lack of a better term, right?
Well, it's essentially, think of it this way, getting back to Gruden. You know, what if there was a football franchise, or we'll keep it to big three. Let's say there's a basketball franchise, and there are all these all-stars that are getting canceled out of the league, but they're not getting canceled because they raped their girlfriend. They're getting canceled because they sent a tweet out 9 years ago or something like that. So you don't have a performance issue or even a behavior issue.
Right.
You have Gina Carano saying, I don't even know what Gina Carano.
I've already forgotten about what the transgression was.
Somebody said something about comparing kids in cages to Hitler or something, and she's basically saying, whatever's going on in the border, that ain't a gulag. You know, this is a gulag or some version of that.
Well, she was also working for Disney, and she had said some things that were potentially towing the line before and had been told to stop. So that was what finally killed her.
Right, she'd been told to stop. Like what's her name on ESPN is stop. The point is you have these veteran authors, actors, sports, you know, nobody questions Gruden's bona fides. I mean, nobody can dissect a piece of game film and articulate it better than Gruden. And if you're going to cancel Gruden or Gina Carano or Adam Carolla or whomever, well, it's not like those people are out of stuff to say.
Well,
they'll just go over there.
And that's what, and by the way, it's very interesting to me because what's her name got canceled for saying certain things. Jamel got canceled a couple of years ago, and I haven't talked to Jamel about this issue, which I'd like to, because I think that, what is it, Sage Steele?
Sage Steele. Jamel was the white one from ESPN?
No, she's African American, and she had said, I forget what she said. Right now, she'll clock me for not remembering it, but it was controversial. Next thing you know, she's canceled because it doesn't apparently toe the line. And now Sage, right, who was just canceled. It's a scary precedent. I mean, it really is a scary precedent because what you're talking about, and this is not anything earth-shattering, but it's a certain amount of ideological purity, which I have never understood. Look, 25 years ago, I was representing a cop in a lawsuit who made some statements to expose corruption. And he didn't have that, you know, Ninth Circuit ruled he didn't have a First Amendment right to do that. That's kind of a frightening precedent 25 years ago. And I back then was kind of yelling that this makes no sense, this makes no sense. Well, now we're talking about it when it's against a somebody who has violated or stepped out of the ideological lane. You have to – what I keep emphasizing to people is, first of all, why can't you have a discussion? Second of all, what's the matter with somebody who gets out of their ideological lane and you tell them why they shouldn't? You know, another example of this, speaking of podcasts, did you see the – so funny – you had shown me and our listeners the Sanjay Gupta of Dr. Fauci clip on CNN.
Yeah, several weeks ago.
Well, Gupta just went on Joe Rogan. And Joe was questioning, why do you let, and what, not on that issue, but on the issue of the horse dewormer supposed story.
Ivermectin.
Yeah. Why can't, what is the downside of pressing somebody, asking them that, saying, why do you get away with that? Why are you saying this? Or what you did? Why is it that you can't question Dr. Fauci? Why can't I question Dr. Fauci? He may have the greatest pedigree in the world. He may have the greatest resume in the world. But as you and I have been talking about for a year and a half now, these experts, so-called experts, the whole idea of experts, and when you put them on the stand, and why there's a whole movement in the law to have the judge as a gatekeeper is because you do not want to unthinkingly accept what they say. And so why are what part of society says we have to now? What happened there?
Well, you know, there's a couple of thoughts I've had, and I've voiced them on my podcast and maybe at times on this podcast too, which is I did this sort of thought experiment. Fauci, Gupta, but let's just say we'll stick with Fauci. Let's just say Fauci wasn't talking about COVID. Let's just say vaccines, COVID, let's just look at that as a durable good, like a product, right? And there shouldn't be any politics around washing machines or used cars or siding. It's just a product, you know? And again, in the thought experiment, so the never-ending drumbeat of we got to get people vaccinated, and here's the people who aren't getting vaccinated, a bunch of dumb bumpkin Trump-voting guys with, you know, American flags hanging off the back of their pickup truck. That's the group we got to get to. That's the group we have to convince to be vaccinated. Okay, so you're going to go on Joy Reid's show 15 times. How many Trump-voting, American flag-waving, pickup truck-driving guys are sitting around watching Joy Reid? I'll answer that. Zero. Zero. But if you want to talk to those guys, you can go on Tucker Carlson, and you can talk to those guys. Or you can go on right-wing radio, AM radio, talk radio, plenty of conservative guys over there. You can go down to the Daily Wire and talk to Ben Shapiro, maybe even Joe Rogan. You can go talk to them. But here's the rub. They're going to have questions, and they're not going to have the questions Joy has, because Joy's questions aren't questions. Her right. questions will be, why aren't more guys who watch Tucker Carlson getting vaccinated?
And by the way,
Tucker Carlson has 10 times the audience that Joy has. Right. So here's the thought experiment.
And what I don't understand, and I bring it back like you do with I bring it back to my experience, which is when I'm doing a trial, generally a criminal trial, because there's kind of traditionally ideological viewpoints that are different. If the prosecutor is trying to advocate for one thing, and I'm trying to advocate for something else, and whether it's through a witness, through direct examination where the prosecutor gets up and does his infomercial, and then I get up there and start asking questions. By the way, that's the whole premise of our justice system. That's what it's based on, that you have completely diametrically opposed viewpoints, people zealously advocating for them, and then you get a give and take. So
right.
Why is that? Why is it? I mean, can you imagine if we applied where we are to a courtroom?
Yes, it'd be a shit show. And again, back to the thought experiment, if Biden is just selling aluminum siding instead of vaccinations, then he's going to say, who has the biggest audience on cable? And you're going to say, Tucker Carlson does. And go, sign me up. And then you're going to go, where's Joy Reid rank? Oh, she's 13th. Well, I'll get to her when I get to her. I want to go to where the fish are. The fact that he doesn't show up on those suggests to me that he has been compromised sort of politically. And he knows they're going to ask questions that he's not going to get asked in friendly waters. And that's what happens. And by the way, when Gavin Newsom comes on this podcast or Sanjay Gupta goes on Joe Rogan's podcast, now we really know we're not going there. But all we are doing is asking the questions that should have been asked if, in fact, you were just on a news network. Well, that wasn't compromised, essentially.
I have represented my share of infamous, noxious, whatever. If you're afraid to get tough questions asked of you, then you're in the wrong business. How do you even articulate? How do you even think you're doing anything if you can't field tough questions?
It suggests to me that you know what you're doing, and you know that a lot of it is a falsehood. Because if you don't willingly know that, it's sort of when people said, like, oh, you know, Gavin Newsom, he wasn't wearing his mask, he went to the French Laundry. And people say, oh, he's a hypocrite. I go, he's not a hypocrite, he doesn't believe in a mask. He's telling you to wear a mask. Maybe that does make him a hypocrite, but what I'm saying is that doesn't say to me he's a liar or a hypocrite. It says to me he doesn't think it's effective. And he doesn't think what he's telling you is dangerous, he doesn't really think is dangerous. He doesn't think it that way. Now, so here's the thing. Here's a psychological deep dive. If Fauci believed all that he said, even if he was wrong, and you can still get the shit kicked out of you, but you believe it. You know what I mean? You've mm-hmm. kicked the shit out of many a witness and many a cop and many a prosecutor and many a everybody. But they would enter the octagon. They enter the octagon because they think they're going to win. Then they get the shit kicked out of them. The fact that Fauci won't go on those shows suggests he knows a lot of what he's saying are falsehoods. Because if he just believed in it, let's just say Fauci was 100% down with all the stuff he said on CNN. Then if you said, oh, go on Tucker Carlson, he'd go, okay, I'll go on Tucker Carlson. Say that. Now, Tucker Carlson would beat the shit out of him, but Fauci would go on and then be surprised. He's not going because he already knows what's going to happen.
Well, you know who you have to give props to for doing is Pete Buttigieg, because mm-hmm. Pete would go on and he would perform admirably.
Yes, he's very good at that.
He's excellent at that. And by the way, that's what you want. And also,
well, I don't know if we want a Secretary of Transportation who's on paternity leave with his gay partner for 3 months when the fucking ports are backed up. Like, maybe. But as far as speaking goes, he's great. The action,
and by the way,
not so much.
You can take, that's a valid criticism. I think all you have to do is go down there. I mean, I've been talking with guys who work down there on the docks who've been calling about, you know, because they've got a different theory on what's happening down there.
He holds it, to give Buttigieg his props, he holds his own very well. He's skillful.
He's skillful at it. He's smart and he understands what an argument is.
And I think Buttigieg probably is smart enough, and it always bewilders me. It's like when Kamala Harris is going to sit down with, Lester Holt. And she's like, Lester Holt's like, you been to the border? She's like, what? I didn't anticipate this one. It's like, you're the border czar. You've not been to the border. And that's all anyone's been saying for 4 months. And you're caught off guard. You're like a deer in the headlight. She's like, what? Huh? No. Yeah, there's a border. We've been to the border. Have you been to the border? She's like, I don't know what that means. I mean, that's stupid. So Buttigieg is a smart enough guy.
He's a brilliant guy.
And what he does is he goes, I know I'm going to be asked if I've been to the border. I know I'm going to be asked about the ports. I know I'm going to be asked about whatever. And then he sits down with maybe somebody like you and goes, here will be my answer when this comes to me. I don't know why other politicians and other CEOs and other whatever
don't. This used to be a skill set that people had. Yeah. I mean, part of the brilliance.
As a politician, it's your number one skill set.
Bill Clinton used to do it masterfully.
How could you not? Because 10 minutes ago, you were standing up on the floor of Congress explaining that gay marriage is an abomination in front of God and nature. And now 10 minutes later, you're writing a bill for gay marriage. And of course, somebody's going to say to you, well, what happened about that? And there's a way to craft an answer.
Well,
but not like what's going on.
Yeah, and why are you asking that? And there was something. Right. Well, I don't. We're having kind of a free form discussion here. I don't understand the whole idea of what the Democratic Party is doing right now. I mean, I'm on every email blast that you would get.
I get Adam Schiff's email. I got Adam's every day.
I get Nancy Pelosi's 10 times a day. I don't understand what they're doing because they are. This is like it's like watching a car drive off the crest, and they accelerate going off the crest.
I'll tell you this, and it's something I've learned, and it's kind of a mindset, and there's a little bit, if you will, I would say that if you were to assign a gender to a party, you would say the Republicans are more male, sort of traditional, and the left is more female, if you're just going to give a gender to a party. I have found in the woman's psyche, there's two ways you can kind of deal with going off a cliff. And you see it in the micro. I see it with like Lori Lightfoot in Chicago and stuff like that. She sends up a weather balloon and people go, I'm getting my BB gun. I hate that weather balloon. It's a bad idea. She'll say something. She'll have some policy. And then at some point, the word gets back. Nobody likes this idea. Now, there's two ways you can do that. You can then reel it back in.
Right.
And then that's sort of the more skillful, maybe male-sided politician. Or you can go, you don't like it? Fuck you. You're getting more of it. And that seems to be the kind of general milieu of what's going on. It's like somebody's saying, pump the brakes. And they're going, pump the brakes? I'm stomping down on the accelerator because you told me to pump the brakes. Like, they're literally going, you know, it's like, you know, Lori Lightfoot, the head of the police union, said, look, you set a record for murders last year. And now we're talking about a third of the cops staying home. What the fuck are you going to do about it? She's like, you better watch yourself. You know, like she wasn't like, all right, well, let's give it another 3 weeks. Let's reconvene. She was like, you're in trouble now, buddy.
I'll give you a local example of it. That I thought, once again, was somebody who engaged. I saw our sheriff, Villanueva, being right. interviewed, and somebody was giving him a whole lot of crap because he wasn't agreeing, basically, to a vaccine mandate. Did you
right.
see this?
Yeah.
And he had what I thought was he anticipated it.
Yes.
He didn't shy away from it. Mind you, I was a Jim McDonald fan, who was the previous sheriff, so this isn't somebody who I necessarily liked. But after I watched him, I wrote a check. He said, let me tell you, he says, the sheriff's department and first responders tend to veer right, mm-hmm. tend to be more right.
Yeah, says like this, airplane pilots.
Yeah,
people with real jobs, sorry, Mark, tend to veer right a little bit. It's not the guy sitting in cubicles, you know, shitting out stuff for the HuffPo, but the guys have to land airplanes and do shit like that.
And respond to domestic violence calls.
Right.
So which, by the way, I as being in the criminal justice system for 40 years, absolutely, he's right. That's a fact. And he says, and this has become politicized. Also a fact. Am I going to lose 5, 10, 15% of my workforce tomorrow because I've mandated? No, I'm not. So I'm going to mandate that they take tests once a week. Boom, boom, boom.
He also said that we are amongst the lowest in the country, maybe the lowest on, you know, cop per 1,000 citizens. You know, so we're already low. And he said, a lot of these guys got a couple years left, and then they're going to take early retirement.
That's what he said.
Right.
He said so 28 like, years in, they could just take it, they'll take their golden parachute and
leave.
Go.
Yeah. And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And by the way, with murders up and crime up and everything else up. So he anticipated this.
He understood the answers. I said, dude, I may have been on the opposite side of you. I just saw that you're in a reelection race. I'm writing you a check. I mean, instantaneous, because I appreciated the fact that he engaged and gave a reasoned point-by-point kind of debunking.
He's kind of been a little bit of a hometown hero here, because I think he was also the guy when they were like, you got to arrest people on the beach. He's like, I'm not doing that shit.
Right. And then they also said, well, what are you going to do if you get called to by a location because somebody won't comply? And he said, well, we'll go and we'll talk, but we're certainly not going to be the vaccine police. And,
right.
And okay, I may disagree fundamentally or ideologically or anything else, but I appreciate somebody who can string an argument together and stand behind it in a reasoned position.
Well, I think what's going on is the COVID has sort of blown the doors open to regulatory and, you know, laws and statutes and the group, everyone talks a pretty good story. You know, when Biden was coming in, he was like, oh, no, we're not going to do any vaccine mandates. We're not going to do this. That's what all politicians said. But it's abundantly clear now they love power, and they're not letting it go. And they're riding the COVID thing into the sunset. And eventually you're going to get folks like pilots and like police commissioners and sheriffs and stuff like that. Eventually those people get bent to the point where they break, and everyone's at their breaking point now, and they're now saying, we're not doing this.
What do you think when you turn on the TV, and I did this 3 days ago, you're a restaurateur, or you're a live music promoter, or you're somebody else who had their business shut down, and you now hear that the head of the CDC and Dr. Fauci are both saying, it's safe for kids to go out and trick or treat because they're outdoors.
Right.
I saw that within the last 72 hours. That is what I'm talking about. Do they think that people have retrograde amnesia and don't remember what they were saying 10 minutes ago, or the number of businesses? There's 60,000 businesses that were shut down in LA County. God knows how many actually went out of business. But do they think that nobody remembers what they were saying 25 minutes ago?
Well, as we talk about all the time, there are plenty of clips. Politically, you know, you got Biden from 9 months ago, you know, 10 months ago, whenever he's on the campaign trail, and he's going, no, I'm not going to pack the Supreme Court. No, I'm not going to declare this island nation a state. No, I'm not going to vaccine mandates. No one's doing that. We're not going to do any of that. Well, that's all on film from less than a year ago. So the politicians frequently...
Well, and
I will do that with a straight face.
I just don't get it. I was telling somebody the other day, a buddy of mine from high school, he was talking about how effective it would be if the Republicans, and this guy is left of me, my buddy, if the Republicans just strung together some of these, you know, here's day one, here's day 10, here's day 20. And I said, I guarantee you that's what they're going to do. That's why I say we, meaning the Democrats, are driving a car as Thelma and Louise right off a cliff.
Well, right now, in terms of COVID, I think Florida's about the bottom in terms of cases, and California's right next to the bottom. And as I'm fond of saying, when our friend Bean of Kevin and Bean got COVID and then announced he did everything right, and then I announced I did everything wrong, and then if you listen to CNN, California did everything right and Florida did everything wrong, and we're in the same place. All in the same place.
This morning, I got the J&J shot. I got it the day they lowered the age to be available
you
for
got
me.
The booster?
No, I got the original one in March. March 11th, I believe.
Oh, the day, not 2 days.
Yeah,
sorry.
The day. Today they came out, and apparently there's a study that the booster for J&J is going to be okay. You just have to do it within 2 months of when you... Oh, really? Well, I'll go back in my time machine, and I'll go back to May 11th. Thank you very much. I took it on March 11th, the first day I was eligible, But now I need a booster. But by the way, I already had it 2 weeks ago, and apparently my natural immunities now don't matter. I'm going to go get a booster that was only effective if I had gotten it 2 months after the March 11th. It's really, I'm going to say it again. I know I'm a broken record. It is exactly what I experience in courtrooms with experts. They don't. The idea that we have outsourced our collective sociological and collective brains to these people is beyond belief to me.
Well, to be fair to them, I guess, an example I've used before, but if you have a fire marshal, the fire marshal would say, you should put a pneumatic closing door on the bathroom doors in here. And I'd go, why? It's a pain in the ass. You know, and I go, well, it's safer. And you'd go, yeah, but how much safer? You know what I mean? How many fires have we had? What's the real danger in the bathroom door being open? It's like, it's 0.5% safer. So do it. Because you're asking a fire marshal.
Well,
and the fire marshal's going to tell you to do that.
And by the way, if the fire marshal or the code inspector has got wants to find violations, has the mother of the one been born who can't find a violation? Is there any job or yard or house that you couldn't find a violation?
There'd be 1,000 in this building.
I mean, you just it's more art than science,
right? So the point is we are taking people whose jobs are to find fault and to be as safe as possible, and then we're saying you dictate policy. Now, that's a mistake. What we should say is okay, we got a fire marshal, and we got the Small Business Association head, too, and we're going to figure out what's reasonable between the two of them. Not just let the fire marshal figure it out.
And there's also a subtle shift that has taken place in the last 3 weeks. Because, as you have mentioned, the rates are plummeting, we no longer talk about the ICUs. We no longer talk about deaths. And that's a tribute, I assume, to the vaccines. But now we're talking about we're entering flu season. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a second. We're entering flu season? Did you change the channel on me? When did that happen?
I will tell you this, because I was talking to Mike August when we were waiting to get on a Delta flight on behalf of your Seattle-based flight crew. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. We had a flight crew from Atlanta. They never brought up masks the entire flight back from Nashville. You get the one from fucking Seattle, you're fucked. But the point is this.
That's such a good point. I had never thought about that.
My thing is you got to say where you're from before we land, when we're taking off, not when we're landing. I don't want to get the shit beat out of me with the stink eye for fucking 5 hours and then find out, you're a Seattle-based flight crew. But as Mike said, we're getting on the plane. Mike wears the mask like when you put a party hat on your cat. You know what I mean? It's like a constant rubbing and fighting and wrestling with. Like it's like trying to put a fucking hat on a cat. That's what Mike is like with a mask. He can't do it.
I'm going to give him cat in the hat. Cat in the hat for his birthday.
He'll get yelled 25 times before we push back. He had the stewardess took a knee, like when they get down on your level.
Right, exactly.
She went fucker here, eye to eye. Just went, what don't you understand about what I'm telling you? Like, that's before we push back. Okay.
Jesus.
The point is he said to me, when we can get vaxxed up, we'll get rid of these masks. If everyone gets vaxxed up again, I go, are you kidding, Mike? Are you kidding? This mask going nowhere. No, you think you're going to be on a commercial flight 9 months from now with no mask? No way. It's basically like mask, all regulation. It's like, oh, we're going to add four cents onto a gallon of gas until we get the bridge finished, and then we'll just go ahead and pull that off. Yeah. You think they don't walk, nothing goes back. Well, it only goes forward.
I'll give the Jerry Brown in the state of California. We're going to have a 4-year super tax on income over whatever. And I promise you it's not going to be permanent. So you know what he does? he institutes it. When the 4 years is about to be up, he runs a initiative, which he backs to make it permanent.
Yeah,
I mean, there is no...
I don't know. Gary, could you see masks on commercial flights or in airports ever being removed?
I don't think they'll ever disappear. I think eventually the mandate will have to go away, and it will have to be a self-policed thing.
I think what'll happen is because of the flu season, they'll right. go like, well, COVID's done, but it's the flu. All That's right, what? Let me tell you about Masterworks.io, the traditional investment portfolio. Well, that's dead. No more of Grandpa's 60-40 stock bond allocation. You need to balance real estate, crypto, options, and others. There's one asset class that over two-thirds of billionaire collectors put 10 to 30% of their fortunes into, but it's always been out of reach for everyday investors thanks to a recently enacted law and one startup. This $6 trillion opportunity is wide open to everyone for a fraction of traditional purchase prices. Featured in the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg, they've got more than 200,000 members. Demand is exploding, and their wait list is crazy long. Luckily, they've given me 40 passes to skip it. Secure your spot at masterworks.io/doubt. That's masterworks.io/doubt. Right, Gary?
See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Back for more in-studio complaining right after this. RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write doubt in the how did you hear about us box so they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, back with more Reasonable Doubt. Gary's got a case that is very pertinent, and Mark's pretty uniquely qualified to speak on this. So why don't you give it to us, Gary?
Yeah, Loudoun County, Virginia. There was I guess if we go back 2 or 3 months to the very start of this case, a parent in the Loudoun County School District has alleged that a transgender male at birth, transgender student assaulted his daughter in a bathroom while dressed as a female. And he went to a school board meeting to try to talk about it, and he was arrested before he was allowed to speak. And Daily Wire then a couple months later finally broke the story, and now the parents in the school district are irate and demanding the entire school board resign.
So what happened is the guy goes in there, and he's going to the school board meeting, and he's going, my daughter was raped in the bathroom. And they kind of went, yeah, we checked that out. Nothing happened. And, of course, he then went ballistic because evidently did happen, and any dad with their daughter in this situation. And when he was going ballistic, they called the cops, and the cops wrestled him down to the ground and then dragged him out of there. And also, he's been also part of the poster child for when they went to the DOJ and said, hey, man, these are domestic terrorists. We got to get some help on this.
On the transgender front.
And it turned out the alleged assailant, and they don't have any names because they're minors, was involved with another bathroom
incident
and was moved from like one school to the next. So this is, I mean, this has sticky fingerprints all over it.
And it's going to get worse. I will predict that. And by the way, speaking of transgender, Dave Chappelle, speaking of being canceled, they now want to pull him off of Netflix and the special off of Netflix, which, by the way, if you actually watch it, he has a nuanced, articulate view, which I don't, you know, it was beyond me. You'll remember that case that I tried 4 or 5 years ago where
Santa Monica Boulevard in front of the Shakey's.
Yeah. And where I was getting scolded for calling the so-called victim, who actually had, as it turned out, stabbed first or slashed first with the razor blade. Mm-hmm. And
see, I listen when you talk, Mark.
You really do. You get the details very well. We have lost our collective minds. You can't. By the way, there was another. I was thinking of you as well. I don't think we've talked about it. There was a transgender, somebody who identifies as a female, who was housed in a female facility and ended up getting somebody pregnant at mm-hmm. the same time. At a certain point, there has to be, somebody's got to say, this can't, to quote you, it could go no other way. This makes no sense. You have to understand that we just can't keep saying, if I self-identify, if I self-do this. That's not something that this system is set up to deal with.
Well, to kind of bring it back to what we started talking about, which is ivermectin and Sanjay Gupta and Joe Rogan and CNN and Fauci and COVID, which is when something becomes politicized, then you have to take a side, and then you take a side, and now you find yourself attacking ivermectin when it's inert, billions of people are on it. Who gives a shit?
Mark,
but you take a side.
And it's being prescribed.
And what's going on here is there's a whole side to this country that is basically pro-transgender, pro-LGBT, whatever. Fine. I'm pro-heterosexual dudes, but if somebody rapes someone, I don't fucking cover it up or defend it. I just go, and not all are great. And
by
shit
the
happens.
Way, if that's the litmus test for the Democratic Party, that's part of what I'm telling you, is part of driving off the cliff.
Right.
I'm not saying you have to be anti. I don't care. I mean, frankly, from my standpoint, who cares if somebody is? I don't care. I don't want to know. But you're not going to put somebody who into a situation like that, cover it up because ideologically you've gotten out of your lane again, as we talked about, and then tell me if I don't subscribe to that, I'm expelled or excommunicated or canceled.
The news that night on CNN and MSNBC was all about this crazy dad who was disruptive and dangerous at a school board meeting. It was nothing to do with his daughter being raped. Let's just do it this way. If you had a 13-year-old daughter, would you want her attending a school where guys, and not only that, it's a self-selecting group. It is young teenage boys who have issues, who are struggling with something involving their sexuality. We're not talking about Sonny Corolla. We're talking about guys who have issues. Okay? Now, you can say, well, that sounds pejorative, but I think it's fair to say that they're struggling with some issues. Now you're going to put them in a dress and put them in the bathroom while your daughter's in one of the stalls with her panties around her ankles? The answer, it's the same thing I have with pot. I'm not anti-pot, I'm not against pot, I'm not uptight. Would you like your son smoking pot? Answer, no. Okay, well, I'm making a judgment. Would you like your daughter going to a school where guys with dicks and balls could stroll into the bathroom wearing a fucking sundress? Answer, no. And if the answer is no, and by the way, if you ask anyone on the left side of the aisle, ask Joy Reid what she would want for her daughter. The answer would be no.
Except you
can't. Well, then there's something going on.
You can't discuss it. It's
right.
Verboten. And if you do discuss it and you try to talk about it, you become Dave Chappelle.
Right. Well, so then we get back to Pete Buttigieg, which is right. You go, look, what this guy did was deplorable and despicable, and he needs to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. That being said, I still agree that transsexual people have rights.
Absolutely.
They should have bathrooms. They should be allowed to use whatever. Just have a little nuance in your thinking. This never happened. And by the way, It's going to happen. It's got to happen. You cannot have a biological male stroll into some Seattle youth hostel for battered women and not expect this shit to fucking happen.
There are solutions to it, by the way. There are obvious solutions to it, but you can't even have the discussion.
How big a lawsuit are we talking about?
I think this guy has got, and on behalf of, as the guardian ad litem, if that's the term they use there as opposed to a conservatorship or something else, my guess is on behalf of the daughter as well, he's got a monstrous lawsuit.
And speaking of Nicholas Sandman, what about the news outlets who gleefully cover this maniac dad who poses a danger to the school board and fought the cops because he was so out of control, and conveniently leave out the part of the story where his daughter was raped?
Well, this is part of the new wave, I think, in a trend, because we've been talking about this for years. There is going to be and has to be somebody who takes one of these so-called outlets, not settle, but just takes it to trial. I mean, it happened way back when with the pink slime. It happened with the other one with CBS. It's going to have to happen again to kind of get
a... Is that the pink slime, the Oprah beef one?
Yeah. It's somebody...
connect that.
Boy, you were, that was God. Good.
I don't remember the pink slime. That's all I could think of is fucking Oprah. But yeah, well, Project Veritas may do something like this. We don't know, but...
Well, he's, you know, look, the... If he gets, and he it looks like he has, into the discovery phase, then it's going to be real. Somebody's going to throw a lot of money at him.
And Joe Rogan may. I don't think he's going to.
So far, it doesn't look like he's going to, but who knows? I mean, I'm not advising him. I'm just telling you, somebody like that who knows and who there is no good answer. I mean, look at – I'll give Sanjay Gupta credit. He admitted – after he was kind of, you know, beat around the head a little bit verbally, he admitted that they never should have said that.
Right.
That's his network.
Have you heard him talking to Don Lemon after that, though?
No, let me see.
Oh,
here you go. I've been trying to wedge this in all show.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, once he got into safe waters, he doesn't.
This is the safe harbor, right?
Safe harbor. He doesn't work in international waters very well, but once he gets to the
friendly
confines.
When he got 3 miles ashore.
Right, but he got back onto Don Lemon, and he kind of changed his tune a little bit. Now, look, he's doing a couple things. He's telling Rogan, I didn't know about this. You didn't know about it. It was the biggest story for a week. You're the chief medical correspondent for the network.
What does that remind you of?
Stupid.
Dr. Fauci didn't know about the Israeli
liar.
Study.
Yes, yeah. These guys are lying. Oh, he's telling Rogan with a straight face, I didn't know about this. You didn't know about it. You're physician and you're chief medical correspondent for the network. You didn't know about this.
Right. You didn't know that the second most downloaded podcaster had been slandered.
All right, let's play it.
Well, I know it's in large part a tongue-in-cheek interview, you know, because it's Joe Rogan and there's lots of you're jockeying back and forth. But he did say something about ivermectin that I think wasn't actually correct about CNN and lying, okay? Ivermectin is a drug that is commonly used as a horse dewormer. So it is not a lie to say that the drug is used as a horse dewormer. I think that's important. And it is not approved for COVID. Correct?
That's right. That's correct. It is not approved for COVID. And you're right. I mean, the FDA even put out a statement.
Okay, see, that's really despicable, and I'll tell you why. Because he's a doctor. He knows that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of drugs that are not prescribed for a particular, but you use them off-label. That is, any doctor will tell you that from day one, you have off-label prescription.
Brian Bishop's alive because they found a drug that's off-label for his inoperable brain tumor. Number one, he's right. And Don Lemon, by the way.
By the way, it's a horse dewormer. Well, by the way, it's also been prescribed for humans how many times?
Billions. And as I was screaming about on my podcast, this is why you got to get me in that courtroom. If I had him up, I'd hold up a fucking brush.
Yeah.
And I'd go, hey, Don Lemon, this is a brush. Guess what? can be used on a horse. Also, my daughter uses one as well. Shall I slap it out of her hand because it's used times a million on horses? Because I see horses being brushed. And I see young ladies brushing their hair. Does that mean it's for horses? Is this brush for horses? Would you describe this brush as for horses? Just got to answer, because everyone brushes their horse.
Right.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's sad.
It is sad.
And but to come full circle, you want to know why the Daily Wire is 200 employees strong and growing every 10 seconds? Because of this.
Well, it's exactly right. And you want to know why the Democrats are headed for one of the most epic wipeouts of all time? I'm just going to say it. We're a year out, cuz save this tape, Gary, because we are this idea of the ideological purity and the idea of not being honest and considering both viewpoints is going to come back and bite us in the ass.
Well, there may be time to correct course, but I know you got a heart out, so I just want to say this. What you just saw there is part and parcel of exactly what you've been talking about the cliff, which is, look, CNN is an arm of the Democratic Party, let's face it, and Fox is an arm of the Republican Party. All right. You guys just got outed. You just got outed in no uncertain terms. And what you could have done, Don Lemon at that point, and Sanjay Gupta at that point, is do a little mea culpa. You know, go, you know what? Look, we have a little ideological angle. Maybe we got over our skis. Apologies to Joe Rogan. Yes, of course, it's prescribed to millions of Americans and billions of, you know, Africans, and every person that comes into this country from a place of West Nile virus or whatever is going to get it. Drew's prescribed a million times. Okay, you got us. Moving on. Nope, they doubled right back down again. And now they look like bigger liars and idiots. I mean, Don Lemon's point is the biggest non-point in history, and he just doubled down on it.
This is exactly what you're talking about. Yes, tripled down. It's just infuriating.
All right, let me tell you about Geico, last but not least. Do you own, do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. And then there is your automotive insurance. How about you get your bundle working with Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your policies and save a ton of dough, rate me, along the way. So you go to geico.com, you get a quote, and you see just how much you could save. It's easy. It's Geico easy. Go to geico.com and find out just how much you could be saving today. All right, you can go to adamcarolla.com. Now, I'll be taping my first couple of Daily Wire specials with Rob Riggle and Jay Leno out in Brea Improv on the 30th of October, doing matinee shows there. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. Mark, what do you got?
We're still open in the Hamptons at the Capri, Casa Tropicana down in St. Clemente, the V, Palm Springs. Gigi's is opening this weekend. Stop by. And downtown, Tenny or Mediterranean Tapas or Engine Company 28, to both downtown and at LAX.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garriga saying, mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Geico, do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. You work hard enough. How about you do a little bundle? Bundle with Geico. Make it easy to bundle the homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got enough to do. You're busy these days. Save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save when you visit geico.com and get to bundling.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike.
And this is Gibby.
And we're the hosts of the True Crime All the Time Unsolved podcast. If you haven't already, we'd love to invite you to come check us out. You can listen to True Crime All the Time Unsolved now on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you want to.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted,
where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.